Last year, this is my second year here presenting, and last year I was the one hobbling around on a boot, and this year I tried to top myself, so I have a cast on my nose. I had sinus surgery 3 weeks ago, and I wasn't able to get this off yet, so if you wonder what the heck I'm doing up here looking like this, that's why. I'm not looking for attention, really. First of all, I'd like to congratulate Daniel on being nominated for the Natalie Smith Award. I know that's a really big honor, and I really congratulate you there. I'm here to talk about South Dakota's perspective on utilizing our statewide immunization system with our GIS mapping software to determine pockets of need. And Daniel was talking a lot about these 1 and 2 doc clinics and this and that. Well, that's pretty much where we come from, guys. We have a lot in South Dakota. We have a lot of small clinics in a lot of rural settings. So our focus is just a little bit different, and we have a little bit different perspective here to share with you. I'll just give you a little background. We started our immunization system in 1996, and it was a dial-up system. And in 2003, we converted to a web application. And in South Dakota, our system is called SDIIS, the South Dakota Immunization Information System. And it is used by all childhood providers in the state to enter all childhood immunizations. And we also highly encourage our providers to enter adolescent and adult immunizations also. Right now, the registry is used by 259 private and public providers. We have all the private and all the public providers' clinics in the state using the system. We have 12 Indian health facilities in South Dakota, and 6 of them are using the system the way everybody else is. With IHS, they have an RPMS system, so we actually have 6 sites that are doing duplicate entry while we're waiting for this HL7 interface for the 7 years that we have been, and someday it's going to happen. It might not be in my lifetime, but it might happen. We have 189 schools, universities, tribal colleges, and Head Start facilities that we brought on this summer. So as of February of 2008, we had over 530,000 patient records with 4,700,000 shots recorded in the system. And just for an example for you, I gave you an example of our login page if anybody's interested. And I'd like to refer you to the map on page 2. This shows all of the participating providers that consist of the clinics and the schools. And on the map here, you can see that it's graduated symbols depending on how many clinics or schools are located in that county. And in your handout, I apologize, the font size did not come through on your handout, so you can't see the pictures of the syringes and the school symbols, but I apologize for that, but you can see what we're getting at on the map. In 2004, we began utilizing the assessment function in our registry to identify individual provider pockets of need and to identify individual providers with low immunization rates, to run statewide immunization rates, and most importantly, to conduct the VSC-AFIX combination site visit. The assessment tool produces a immunization coverage report for the 24 to 35 month age cohort for the 431-331 series, and it'll produce a report that shows combination vaccine coverage as well as single antigen coverage. We also have a missing immunization report that coincides exactly with the coverage report that is run from the registry. Now, an example of each of these reports is included in your handout, and I think what's on the screen now is the coverage report, and immediately after that is an example of the missing immunization report. Prior to conducting a VFC-AFIX site visit, the auditor will run the coverage report for the cohort that we're talking about, 24 to 35 month age category for the 431-331 series, and then they will run this missing immunization report. They then contact the clinic and let them know the patients that appear on that missing immunization list, all the patients that are deficient. And they then instruct the clinic to pull the charts of the deficient clients. Now, it depends on the size of the clinic, how many charts are pulled. And what we've come up with in South Dakota is if a clinic size is 50 or more, then they sample 50 records that appear from that missing immunization list. If the client size on the missing immunization report is less than 50, they sample all of the charts. The chart then is compared with the entry into the SDIIS to assure that all the data elements are being met. Now I'd like to talk to you about what the on-site auditor actually can discover during the site visit. They can determine problem areas such as low immunization rates and timely entry of data. For example, when they pull the chart and look at the data entry in the registry, they can tell if a shot was given 3 weeks ago and it's not in the registry, then there's a problem in the clinic of entering the data on time, and that's discussed with the clinic. We've also found out one of the problems in South Dakota is with missed opportunities. One thing that we've noted is that providers are not giving the fourth DTAP on time. They're waiting until school entry. So we've found that to be a problem, and we're looking at ways to, and I'll talk to you about that later, what we're trying to do about that. Another very important aspect of the visit is making sure that all of the data fields are entered, and what we look at is the VFC eligibility field, the vaccine lot number, administration date, VIS date, you name it, you know, all the required fields. Another thing that we look at is administrative practices. Are all the shots that a child is due to receive that day being given on time? And this is all looked at during the site visit. Providers are then given an opportunity to improve their rates and improve their practices. And then there are recommended interventions discussed during that feedback session. What happens then is an on-site follow-up visit could happen by our auditor, or an education visit might be required by our community education coordinator if it's education that is determined to be the problem. A lot of times we have a lot of turnover of staff, like I'm sure a lot of you do. Turnover, new nurses, or nurses that just aren't getting the program elements. Additional training and registry functions. Sometimes, you know, it's a matter that there's new users, a lot of turnover, or people just don't understand the functionality of the registry. And, of course, we always are doing on-site quarterly assessments, and they're ongoing at the central office. In 2004, we also began using the registry function, the assessment function in the registry, to produce statewide immunization coverage levels for the 43133 series. And in 2004, our rates were at 50%. It was, you know, pretty pathetic, actually. And in 2007, our rates went up to 86%, and we were very, very pleased with this. And I think it's a combination of things. It's a combination of conducting the VFCA fixed site visits, the ongoing work that our field staff are doing, our community education coordinator, the registry use is, you know, it's just becoming a more widely used tool. There's all kinds of things that are going our way right now. We began using the SDIIS data in combination with the GIS mapping software to determine pockets of need in county and clinic specific level for low immunization rates, county and clinic high immunization rates, and identifying specific pockets of need. I'm going to refer you to the next map that I think is going to come up here. It's in the blue, different blue highlighted colors. And this represents, we broke down the counties into four different colors that represent four different immunization rates. Less than or equal to 75%, 76 to 85%, 86 to 95%, and 96 to 100%. So that's a statewide result that was run this summer for the 25 to 35 month age cohort. And that is our result that we came up with, the 86%. Now the next map I want to refer you to, we took it one step further and we plotted every private and public provider that had an immunization rate of less than 80%. And this is what we decided to focus on. If a provider has less than 80% immunization coverage, then they get a visit by our immunization education coordinator, and we have to decide what the problem is. The assessment data is produced quarterly, like I said, at the central level. And we determine, this data is used to determine individual provider progress as well as statewide progress towards reaching that 90% immunization goal. And we also have used this data to identify incentives to hopefully solve problems that we're seeing from this data. And a couple of areas that we came up with are that we can really use improvement on, and we really brainstormed on ideas of how we can maybe make things better. And one of the things is promoting the administration of the first Hep B that's given at the hospital. In South Dakota, the immunization information system is not installed at the hospitals, but we have an electronic birth registry. And every Tuesday, that data is dumped into the immunization registry. So we get the data, and if the first Hep B is given at birth, then it's imported into the immunization system. Well, we found out that a lot of doctors are not giving the first Hep B at birth, and it all kind of started with the Pediarics because they thought they were given an extra shot. Well, we had to start focusing on how can we get them to start giving their first Hep B again. So we provided onesies and baby bags. We thought, you know, we'll provide this to the birthing hospitals, and when they give the first Hep B at the hospital to the baby before they go home, they'll get a onesie and a baby bag. We started this in November, and we've had an overwhelming response from the birthing hospitals. I think it was over 4,000 of these items that we've sent out already from the central level. Another area that we discovered that is a problem in South Dakota, like I mentioned before, is the fourth DTAP. Not only are parents waiting to give that bring their child in for the fourth DTAP till school entry, because it's a school entry law, but so are their providers. They're pushing them off and telling them to come in when it's time for school to start. So we're like, how can we get them to give it on time? Well, we came up with an idea, and we have a little teddy bear that says, Barry, he's wearing a little t-shirt, and he's a soft little cute bear, and it says, Barry safe, I got my fourth DTAP on time. And what we've done here is I sent out a letter to all the providers, all the participating clinics, and said that we really need to promote this, not only at your end, but at our end. And if a child gets a fourth DTAP by the age of 2, we'd like to give them a teddy bear. Well, in addition to the letter, we sent out a form, and they use this form to track all the patients that received the fourth DTAP on time, and these forms are constantly coming in to me. And I verify that the fourth DTAP was given on time. This incentive serves another really, really good use, because last year during our immunization registry annual visit, it was pointed out to us that our demographic information is really lacking in the registry. We were like at 30 to 40%. The clinics just aren't taking the time to enter the demographic information. So this incentive really provides two really valuable purposes to us. Not only getting the fourth DTAP on time, but entering demographic information, because we can't send out the bear if the demographic information isn't in. Creates a lot of extra work at the central level, but it's worth it if we can bring up the immunization rates. And so, the demographic information is looked at to see if it's entered, and if they're missing either the fourth DTAP and it wasn't given on time and the demographic information is not entered, then I contact the clinic and tell them, and then they redo everything. And this is really working too. We've sent out close to 1,000 bears now, and we started this in November. So the data produced from the SDIIS and the GIS software is also used at the end of the year to recognize and honor our providers that have maintained, improved, or exceeded the 90% immunization goal for the 24 to 35 month age category. And we hold an annual Awards of Excellence luncheon in the capital city of Pierre. We've done this since 2004. And this last year, The last one was held in September of 2007. It was our biggest attended lunch we've had yet. When we first started this luncheon, the clinic business managers and the doctors weren't willing to let their nurses come to Pierre and have a day off to be recognized. And it's kind of interesting now how things have changed in 4 years, because now I have doctors calling me and business managers calling me wondering why they aren't getting an award. So it's working. And what we do at the awards luncheon, is we do a presentation of plaques for immunization practices and low vaccine wastage. And we've come up with an award called the Golden Syringe Award. And it's a really pretty engraved award on a gold plaque that has a golden syringe. And this is given to clinics that have a large denominator in the 24 to 35 month age category. And they have to have maintained 90% immunization coverage for the last year. And you'd be surprised, this number is growing and growing and growing every year, that the clients that are getting the golden syringe. And it's even interesting to know, and we're proud to say, that the clinics that are getting it are repeating clinics. So it's not only just for the last year, but for the last 4 years. So this is really good. That's what we want. We also came up with an award called the Silver Syringe Award. And this is given to a clinic or clinics that has a large client database, again, and has made the most improvement. And I think we had three clinics last year that made a 30% improvement in a rate in the last year. And when I say large clients, they might not be to you a large client database, but in South Dakota it is. And one of the winners had over 800 clients in that age group, so, and they're keeping them above 90%. So I think that's quite an honor. We also came up with an award called, we came up with a new one this year called the I Make a Difference Award. And, you know, we have clinics and different entities using our registry or accessing our registry that don't necessarily give immunizations. And one facility that comes to mind is called the Ronald McDonald Care Mobile, and they travel the state in a mobile van, and they serve the rural communities that don't have health care access, and their main focus is dental care and immunizations. Well, they're not necessarily seeing a lot of clients to give immunizations, but what they've taken the time to do is enter all these immunizations, and it's thousands of immunizations from traveling the state. So we decided that they needed to be recognized. And we also recognized two Indian health facilities last year because they did duplicate data entry. And we thought that that was worth, you know, an award. We also publicized these awards in the local newspapers and statewide papers and on television. So I think that's where the competition's coming in, where providers are, when they see other clinics' names in the paper, they want their name in the paper and they want to know why theirs isn't in there. And we also have a drawing for two all-expense-paid trips to the National Immunization Conference. And we have two people in the back there that won the awards this year. And we also recognize our local community coalitions. Now, I've also included pictures of our awards lunch. And this here, we just took a shot of the incentives. I've talked about some of them. You can see the, you probably can't see it very good, but there's the baby bag, the teddy bear. Hopefully you can see that kind of. We've got like a snack cup and color books, colors. And unfortunately, we didn't have a onesie to put on the table that day. So you'll just have to, you know, envision that. And then the next picture is of the awards luncheon setup. We just wanted to give you kind of an idea that, like I said, the theme was I Make a Difference, and we wanted to make it, we always change our theme every year, and we wanted to make it kind of colorful. And the next last picture that you see there is of the turnout. Everybody had a really good time. It was a full house. We started out with a small room. We expanded into two full rooms like this, and now next, we grew out of those two rooms last year, so next year we're going to have to add on a third room, and that's nothing to complain about, so we're very happy about that. While the lessons learned, we're still in the process of learning a lot of them. We found out that using SDIS data in combination with the GIS mapping software has been a very valuable tool in identifying pockets of need, not only at the local provider level, at the county level, and the statewide level. And as a result, we can use this data to identify solutions to increase our immunization rates. In early 2009, we plan to evaluate this whole idea that we have of the onesies and the baby bags and the teddy bears and see if it's made a difference. And like I said, this is still a work in progress. We're constantly looking at ways and constantly looking at the data to see what we can do different and make improvements. The next slide is my contact information if anybody has any questions for me. And all the little leprechauns in South Dakota would like to wish you a happy St. Patrick's Day.
Any questions for Tammy? No? Okay, a couple of housekeeping things. Tonight at 6 o'clock, there's the Hillman Lecture and Reception in the Grand Ballroom. If you are applying for CEs, oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Sorry. This is for Tammy or Dan. Dan, you touched on a little bit, or your implementer touched on it. For a doc who does not have internet or doesn't have a billing system, do you not allow paper submission, or how do you get that data into your registry?
We do not allow paper submission. Sometimes we may get that information through billing, through the billing information if they submit a bill to Medicaid, or encounter data through, or it would be for fee-for-service for Medicaid patients, or encounter data for their HMO patients. But we do not accept paper. We do not accept paper record and then enter it ourselves.
And so the clinics, your clinics in your incentive system, are they held harmless for the, you know, if that takes away from their numerator?
We do not. Oh, no. As far as the health departments are concerned, no, they are not. They are not held harmless. So they have to. Hopefully, the goal is to mutually work with these providers and try to get them on board. But they are still responsible for those.